Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Everybody, welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Going to have Jake Burns here in just a moment as Zach connects with him on our Wester hotline. Before we get into chatting with Jake, we'll set the stage, let you know what happened hour one. If you missed any of hour one, of course, you can go to WGR550.com on demand audio. Check it out there. We had Chad Dinamisis of Expected Buffalo. We talked a little bit about the Ben Bishop trade that happened yesterday, what it means from the salary cap implications, what it means for them potentially adding more goaltenders as we head into the free agency period. We also talked a little bit about the rest of the league. We did not talk about the Eastern Conference Finals, which will be tonight, Game 6, with Tampa leading that series 3-2 after going down 2-0 to start that series. But, you know, that should be interesting as we move into tonight and into the rest of that series if there is indeed a Game 7. Coming up this hour, we've got Jake Burns again coming up here in just a moment of the Orange and Brown Report. Jake does great work. He does a great film breakdown that he does as well that I followed for a while. Does great work over again at the Orange and Brown Report. So we'll bring up Jake here in just a moment. And then right after Jake at 12:30, we've got our very own Brian Koziel. He's going to join us to talk a little bit about a LIV Golf League, which made waves this week as the introductory press conferences and tournament takes place in London. It started on Thursday and finishes this afternoon. But without further ado, let's go to the Wester hotline now, because joining me is Jake Burns. He, of course, does work over at the Orange and Brown Report. You can follow him on Twitter at Jake_Burns18. Jake, pleasure to have you on again. It's been a while, man. Of course, I love following along. Love your work. Love your takes. And I'm happy you made some time to jump on the show and talk about the Browns and Deshaun Watson and everything else. That no drama at all in Cleveland. So not a lot to talk about.
No, man. No, not a lot to talk about at all. No, not a daily podcast worth of jargon to bring up every day. My pleasure to come on, man. Always a good time, and always enjoyed following you as well.
Well, we're going to talk a lot of ball. We'll talk some X's and O's, but you know, obviously the appetite for most folks in the Brown sphere is this Deshaun Watson saga. It seems like every day, heck, at this point, Jake, it seems like every hour there's a new development, a new story, a new publication coming out with new accusations. I know that part of this conversation will eventually get to Baker Mayfield, but I think doing this in a vacuum and simply talking about all of the implications, all of the drama around Deshaun Watson, and keeping it separate from Baker Mayfield, I know is something that you have done your best on trying to do, because I do believe they're not exclusive together. You can have a conversation around Deshaun Watson without having to talk about Baker Mayfield somehow coming to the rescue, because I know I follow you, and I know that's not where your head is, and it's probably not where anyone's head should be, because I think these are two completely separate conversations. And starting with Deshaun Watson, Jake, where do you stand? Where does this fan base stand? Because with all of the new developments, we still haven't heard from the league yet on what the suspension looks like. It can't be easy sitting on pins and needles waiting for what the suspension looks like when you want to just move forward and get to talk about football.
Yeah, I think there's a lot there, just kind of like you led into, where you know you want to separate the two, but you really can't, because without Baker Mayfield's issues, there's no Deshaun Watson arrival, right? Like, you know, I think you guys have a pretty good understanding of a similar situation, right? If Josh Allen doesn't turn into what he becomes, you start to become a little desperate. I think you believe that, you know, most of the pieces around Josh are championship caliber. Now imagine, you know, Josh starts really well and then starts to slowly fade, never gets better, has maturity issues, but they're still building this really good team around him. And then you start to say, we're a quarterback away from figuring this thing out. At the same time, the AFC continues to get better at the position, right? So, like, that's where the Browns are. They thought Baker Mayfield, after his first and third year, was going to be something he never turned into. And they were very clear on the limitations, very clear on what his issues were and how far he could take them. And they decided, hey, man, we are in desperation mode. We know that there's only going to be so many talented guys ever available. And because we're in desperation mode, we're willing to, I guess, for better or worse, bite the bullet here and try to make this trade happen and deal with the ramifications and try to come out of it on the other side. Now, as we know, it has gotten somehow worse than when they originally traded for him, right? It's gotten worse because there's more things that have come out. Now, whether the Browns knew this or did not know this, I don't know. I'd have to think that they knew the plan of strategy for the representation of those coming after Watson. He was going to have some plan to put pressure on Deshaun Watson simultaneous to the league and try to get him to settle. He's ultimately trying to make money for his clients, as he should. If there is no criminal situation here, which we know, based on what we know, that there's no criminal element, then accountability usually comes in the form of money. So he is trying to put forth a plan to get money for his clients. So, you listen, Watson could be guilty of this stuff. I try to say I'm not judge, jury, executioner. The stuff here, it's terrible optics. It doesn't look good. If you had to put people in front of a yes or no answer, I believe most people would say that, yeah, something pretty nefarious happened here. So that part of it is rough from a Browns fan's perspective because, really, like you said, Nate, all we want to do is talk about football. But the decision to go upgrade the quarterback position the way they felt they needed to has brought so much baggage, and it's really, really challenging to stay, A, positive, and B, you know, even if Watson is some miracle here exonerated of everything, the civil trials come and go and he's not held liable or whatever, I'm not sure the perfect word there, but he doesn't end up being guilty of having to pass along money. It's the character stuff is always going to be there. Mm-hmm. It's not going to go away. A lot of people have made decisions. And again, I totally understand that. So it's really a stigma that is going to follow the Browns for good or bad here in perpetuity. And that part of it kind of stinks. You know, it's not that the Browns were the only team going after Watson, that anybody who needed a quarterback at this point, it pretty much seemed like they were requesting interviews with him if he was interested in listening to them. But it's going to follow the Browns because of how they went about actually going about securing his services. So, you know, it's tough. I try to keep player and person separated as best I can because, you know, the NFL is the NFL, and we know you look up and down every roster, you're going to find some things you really didn't want to find. But there's also an understanding here that the Watson situation is not a common situation. There is a high volume of people here with claims against him that are very, very ugly. So, you know, that's what the NFL is weighing here, Nate, man. It's like, we've seen issues that have led to suspensions that have come from situations with one accuser or one incident or one deflated football saga, but we have not seen the volume of this nature and what that ultimately leads to, man. So, yeah, we're kind of just sitting here like, how do we evaluate this team going forward? Is it going to be Jacoby Brissett? Is it going to be Watson? How long is the suspension? So, yeah, it's just not a fun time to really, you know, this time of year, as I'm sure you guys are doing, you're really pumped. You're looking forward.
Right.
What are they going to do to be better? What are the stat projections? That's not really what we can do right now. We don't really have that path forward until the NFL figures it out.
Yeah, and I think that's the unfortunate part about it, right? And the Browns being a franchise who for so long have really not been able to find a baseline level of success, and you want to go get that franchise quarterback that can bring that to the franchise. But I think that, you know, there's a level of almost like feeling of selling your soul a little bit, right? And and what you're willing to overlook, and you're talking about the volume of it. And I think that's right. I mean, like, if it's one or two women, this story does not have the teeth that it has. You're not going to see. But to get more details this week about 66 potential massage therapists in 17 months, the thing that I think everyone can agree on is how abnormal this is for normal people, right? Like, normal people have a tough time, which I think, Jake, leads people into thinking more and more that he is guilty, is because it's so abnormal to think about a normal person using that many massage therapists in that short of time. I think makes it harder and harder for the common person to think that Deshaun Watson isn't innocent, right? Because of the sheer volume of it, but because of who he is, the money that he has, the power and the position that he's in, the common folk cannot relate to what he's going through. And I think that has also been a really big disconnector for everyone, including probably Browns fans who feel weird about it. Like, there just is nothing where you can say, oh man, I had a buddy that dealt with the same thing, a false accuser, blah, blah, blah. Like, that does not exist here because of the sheer volume of it and the growing, it seems like, volume of it.
Yeah, there's no doubt, man, that it's really hard to mentally get to the point where you can say 22 to now 26, 25, I'm not sure what the number sits at, but are all lying. I think that the thing, Nate, that is hard here is there's no doubt in my mind, and again, this is a family radio, so try to keep it PG. There's no doubt in my mind that he has a nympho nature about him, I think is probably the best way to put it. He definitely is into that sort of stuff. So, listen, you can be that way, but you can also not break the law. But it sounds like there are some things here that really, really pushed the envelope here. And that's where it starts to become challenging. And you can see why it's challenging for prosecutors, because it is a lot of he said, she said,
right,
in a situation of massages, which are already interpersonal as it is.
Right.
So it's very strange. Listen, there's just no winning. Put it this way, there is no winning outcome. Like you said, there is no connection. Hey man, I had a buddy of mine who had 22. No, you didn't. That never happened. There is no personal connection to this. So there are very few people in on Watson, and I have talked about this from the start. How he handles being the bad guy, because it does seem like in some way he's going to get a chance to come back to the NFL. Now, the nature of the length of that suspension, whether it's 8 games, a full season, whatever, he will get a chance to return. And his contract pretty much says, hey, he's going to play again. But how does he handle being the bad guy? Because there is not
right.
There are a faction of Browns fans who follow the team no matter what and blindly do it, and they'll cheer for him. And I get it. But there's also a ton of Browns fans on top of, as you said, a national distaste for what he has done that is going to lead to some hostile situations. And how do you handle that? Deshaun Watson's been a guy who's been universally loved his entire NFL playing career when he's been on the field. He has always been a guy that guys around the league have loved, and fans have been enjoyed him, you know, because of a lot of the things. The optics have always been really good for him. How does he handle that? You know, I don't know. There's a lot to be understood. And another thing too to consider here, Nate, is if he gets an 8-game minimum suspension, which I am of the idea, like my mind is fixated on 12. If it's less than 12, that's kind of a mini miracle. But I would expect 12 or more. That's 25, 27, 29 straight games he's missed. So that's a lot of football he hasn't played, too. So there's other elements to not only the person getting whatever comes out of the trial situation figured out. There's also he's missed a significant portion of football. He's in a new coaching staff's system. He's a lot of moving parts. You paid him a ton of money, and people are going to want it now. He's going to be expected to be on the field and be great now because the contract dictates that decision. So there's a lot of pressure on top of the personal pressure he's dealing with. It's the professional pressure, which there will be a lot of people gunning for him, and that is, again, it's an understandable thing. So we'll see what shakes out. But I have called this the biggest turning point in the Cleveland Browns franchise since they moved. I mean, it is a monumental decision that they made. And listen, they might not have thought that. They might have thought, hey, just like any other job, Nate, where you go out and you pass a background check. He would have passed a background check. So their thought is, hey, and this is largely the NFL's approach to this, which is this guy passed a background check and he's eligible to play and we'll pay him and he can play. But there's more to it. I don't think the Browns completely understood the magnitude
right.
of it all. Maybe they did, and they said, even if we did, they just don't care, which, again, is another thing that people can throw back at them and say, hey, man, that's terrible, because this isn't a backup practice squad left tackle.
Yep.
This is a face of your franchise. So there's just a lot, man. And I don't know. This could be a situation where as many Browns fans look at 99 as like, hey, you know, 95 when they left, is like I stopped caring at that point, right? There could be a similar situation here that I've already seen a massive divide. And if this thing goes south in the first 2 or 3 years of this whole thing, you're talking about an owner that has another ugly decision on his hands. You're talking about losing, head coach and GM, because they tied themselves to
yep.
this decision.
Right.
And it has a massive, like the floor, what do they call it? The floor and the ceiling here are so crazy, man. It's so crazy. So I would have not done it. I was pretty happy at the time, Nate, to have moved on from it when they announced or whatever source got out that the Browns were eliminated, and kind of preparing to talk about some draft options and
right.
and you know how they handle maybe a Matt Ryan trade or something. And then that decision happened, and it was just like a sinking feeling, because here we are, June 11th now, not talking about anything on the field. We're talking about more of the negative that he has brought instead of anything positive. So it's just tough, man.
I'm with you. Jake Burns here of the Orange and Brown Report on the Wester Hotline. We're talking a little Deshaun Watson. I do want to layer in the Baker Mayfield part of this thing, which is, you know, I think there's a camp of people, and there are probably very few Baker Mayfield apologists left out there, but they exist. And I think if you're a Baker Mayfield apologist, you probably agree with the sentiment that Baker has had, which is, you know, he put his body on the line, he played injured, and part of that is the reason that he didn't play well this year. And part of that is, you know, should the team have shut him down? Should he have shut himself down last season? We know left shoulder injuries with quarterbacks have an impact on your ability to throw accurately. Josh Allen had the injury his rookie year, or sophomore year, I should say, his second year, and it affected his accuracy early in the football season. And you could tell when it was fully healed, he threw the ball with more accuracy, generally speaking. You know, this has been an injury that hurts your ability to rotate and throw the ball with accuracy. So knowing that, Jake, where are you with what happens next for Baker Mayfield? Because, you know, the conversation goes to, is he playing for Carolina? Is he going to get traded? Is he going to get traded to Seattle? Is he and the team and the organization going to agree on an Odell Beckham Jr. type buyout where he takes less but gets it and gets his way, gets to be a free agent and gets a sign elsewhere? What is the resolution to all of this? And in your mind, what was ultimately the lead up to this decision, short of just saying, this wasn't good enough and we've made a mistake drafting him number one overall and this is our solution?
Yeah, well, I don't know where he's going to end up, man. I mean, we think there are two obvious candidates in Seattle and Carolina, but maybe Cleveland is trying to, you know, play the wild card game of a preseason injury or something. I'm not sure. I mean, I know that they want to try to hold, because they don't owe him a penny until week one.
Yep.
So they're going to play the patient game, which they should. I mean, in this situation, the patient game is the only thing you can do. And I don't think they've had a ton of people, like, I don't think they've told people no. I don't think they've had a ton of people calling for Baker Mayfield. So people will be like, well, they haven't done right by him. Well, I don't think there's a ton of people calling for him, man. And I don't think they want to just pay all of his $18.9 million to somebody else, because that's the same as releasing him. At that
right.
point, you yep. just cut him and let him pick his team. So it's like, I listen, I get it that if some people want to be scorned about the decision they made and all that, that's fine. But like, the NFL is ultimately a can you do it or can't you do it league. And the Browns got to the point where they were tired of his immaturity as a leader, as a voice in the locker room, as a it's not my fault type of personality. As the season wore on, you could see that he was just rubbing everybody involved in the wrong way. And it just got ugly, and it got ugly, and they got desperate, and they made a move that we'll see, man. That move might ultimately be the wrong move, but I don't think that that move necessarily meant that Mayfield was going to be here if it wasn't made. Like, I just think they were done with him. So they were aggressive in a Kirk Cousins discussion. They were out there hunting for better options. So Mayfield is going to get a chance somewhere. You made a point about the trade, the Odell situation. It depends on how desperate Baker gets to get out of Cleveland. I haven't sensed any desperation from him yet. So I think both sides are playing it patient. But if it gets to the point where the preseason, he's healthy, he's out there throwing in Austin, Texas or whatever, and he's ready to go and he just wants to play, I could see him and his agent saying, whatever, we'll just eat half of this thing and you cut us. They're not there yet. Cleveland's not there to eat all of it. And there is no trade that is worthwhile. Like, the Panthers wanted to really have Cleveland pay all of but like $3.5 million, right, and they weren't willing to do that. So, yeah, I think they're going to just run it, man. They're going to run it to the point that they can't anymore. And if it gets into the middle of preseason and nothing has shaken loose, then they might just let him walk. So the only thing I know for sure is that he's not going to take snaps in Cleveland. That ship sailed.
Yeah.
Right after the season, the ship sailed, and it just got ugly. And I think it was right for both sides to restart. The nature by which, or the degree to which the restart came, has certainly been uncomfortable here. But it was headed in that direction because he just wasn't good enough, man. And listen, the injury stuff, I get it. I'm with you. The left side discomfort is never good. Never good for getting the front side open to throw the football. But the way he handled himself, the adamancy to play, the seeking a second opinion so he could play, and it was pretty obvious that the Browns tried to shut him down, it was going to turn into a public relations nightmare because he thinks he's out playing for another contract. And it was just ugly, Nate, man. It was really ugly, and it stinks that Cleveland was in a position where the pick that they made in the 18 draft didn't yield the situation. As, again, I'm just going to say, like, it didn't yield Buffalo's result, where they get the guy, the right guy at the right time for the right city, and it works out, and you don't have to go do that stuff. But they are in a position where their roster and everything they have committed fiscally needed a quarterback, and they decided that this risk was good enough for them to do it. Now, you know, we'll sit here and talk in a couple years, as I'm sure we will, and say, well, that was stupid, or, you know, it ended up being okay. But for now, it is a no-win situation for Cleveland. They're just – and maybe they knew this. Maybe they said, hey, I don't care. It's going to be really ugly for us publicly, and it doesn't matter because we see this vision working out. And if that vision works out, good for them. But it will never be to the level of public admiration as many people had for, like, that lovable loser nature that Cleveland had. Now it's, like, they're public enemy number one.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just sucks, man. I don't know what other way to say it. They might win. They might win – multiple Super Bowls, but there will always be people saying things. It'll never come clean, right? So it sucks. It sucks, man. But we'll you know, we keep fighting the good fight, and life goes on, and it's not that big a deal in everyday life for people that have real problems and real lives. But it just, for your NFL fandom, which is a really great escape, as you know.
Yep.
You know, it's just great to escape that daily grind. And when you have to do it and talk about the stuff that you and I are talking about.
The heavy stuff, right.
You never want to have to talk about this stuff. That part of it sucks, man. But we'll keep plugging on, brother.
Last thing I have for you, I want this from the X's and O's side of things. Obviously, you know, Jacoby Brissett could be playing meaningful football here early this season. But from what you've seen from the limited clips of film, and I follow you, and I know you like to break down film a lot, same way my buddy Eric Turner does, looks at OTA films, looks at some of the formations. It looks to me, Jake, that there is going to be a fundamental shift on where this offense operates. It still looks like it's going to be that bootleg, that classic Gary Kubiak-level offense, but at the same time, it looks like they're moving this thing into more of a pistol, into more of a shotgun look with Deshaun Watson, and I'm wondering what you think of how that will look when Watson, if Watson, hits the field this year, and how much different you can expect this offense fundamentally to look.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think they're going to get a lot more creative here. So, yeah, more pistol stuff with some creative read option off of it, just getting cheap yards. Not that they're going to run him like, you know, we're going to run dash concepts or GT counter read option like Lamar does, but they're just going to run some cheap option stuff that they can pick up some yards. But they'll definitely increase RPO usage because why wouldn't you? A guy like that who's done that stuff throughout his – and, again, I got to reiterate, Deshaun Watson's really good. I mean, he's really good. When he was playing, and his last year in 2020, like, he's an extremely talented quarterback. So if you get that version of him, he's going to be good. And your offense with some of the weapons Cleveland has, they'll be fine. They'll put up points. It's just a matter of how far do you go and can you continue to add weapons and continue to get better. But, yeah, they'll do RPO stuff. I think that they'll definitely get in multi-level RPO stuff down the line, tight end things, also getting in some simplistic slant stuff behind it. But, yeah, they'll still do pistol stuff because I think they like the idea of their three-step game just being more of a punch rock, get rid of the football. We used to call that punch rock throw footwork. But it also lets Watson get out quicker. You can still use a lot of your guard, your power counter concepts that you like from that look. And it keeps Watson comfortable, and it keeps Chubb and Hunt in a downhill nature, right? They can do that stuff. So I think they'll wrinkle more of that in. They've only ran two snaps of pistol, Kevin has, in his time in Minnesota and Cleveland as a play caller, but obviously different quarterbacks with different skill sets. But they'll do more of that. But they'll still do their boot stuff. They'll wide zone it. They'll do some different pocket setups that they weren't able to do with Mayfield. And obviously, you know, with it, you get some easy answers. Kevin's pretty good at finding easy answers. The problem was last year, in some portions of 2020, the easy answers just weren't found or they weren't delivered. If you can get those delivered and get some creative plays, as you know, what makes Josh special there in Buffalo is that he extends plays and he drives the football right downfield and he finds tight windows. The hope Cleveland has is that some of those things that Watson was able to do in Houston are now a part. I mean, they're not hoping. They're banking on it. I mean,
yeah.
$230 million banking on it that he can do those things. So, you know, anytime you have a quarterback that can do some of those things, it makes your offense better because you keep drives alive and all that stuff. But I wouldn't expect a wholesale change. They're still going to do their wide zone stuff they love. They're actually a more of a gap concept run team power counter because of those guards they have. They love to move those guards. So they'll do some of that stuff still. But they'll put wrinkles in. It's like I always make the equation of when LaFleur went from Tennessee as the OC up to Green Bay and Cleveland. He took that quarterback collective wide zone stuff with him, but he also really manipulated it to what Aaron's comfortable
right
with. You know, a lot of that quick screen stuff, a lot of now throws, a lot of, layered three-tier read concepts, whole field things. I think they'll mix in what Watson's most comfortable with and find the best offense for him. But, again, it's just a matter of when the heck that's going to be. So we'll keep our eyes out for that information.
Jake, tell the folks where they can find your work, what you got coming up here as we enter training camp season, man. We're like a month and a half away from training camp. Can't wait.
I can't wait. Any football is good football right now. I just need some football. Yeah, you mentioned ahead of time, I'm at Jake_Burns18 on Twitter. And then, everything I do is at the Orange and Brown Report. So we're a 247 Sports Network site, the OBR, orangeandbrownreport.com. Everything is there. We try to do the best we can to cover the Browns from all angles of draft and analytics and film content and all that stuff. So if you ever get bored out there, find some Cleveland Browns content with us. I appreciate you having me on, Nate, man. Big fan of yours. Thanks, dude.
My pleasure. Likewise, my friend. Same here. Big fan of yours. Keep up the great work, and we'll do this again soon. Enjoy the rest of your summer. All right, buddy?
You too, man. Be well. Thanks.
All right, you as well. Jake Burns there on the Wester Hotline. Going to take a timeout. Brian Koziel on the other side. We're going to talk about LIV Golf. If you haven't heard about it, Nate, what the hell's LIV Golf? We'll tell you on the other side here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Sports Talk Saturday. Nate Geary here. We're going back to the West Her Hotline to talk to our very own Brian Koziel, host of Tee to Green, which airs every Saturday morning right here on WGR starting at 7. 2-hour specials for the majors. And he joins me now to talk a little bit about the LIV Golf League. It started this week on Thursday. A 3-round tournament that started Thursday ends today. Brian, first and foremost, we've got some news of some more players potentially leaving from the PGA Tour to go to LIV, including Pat Perez and one Harold Varner III. LIV, at least from a top-tier perspective, getting DJ, getting Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, former major winners, are definitely storylines. But I think the league starting to fill in the rest of the holes with other top 100 players should bring that additional credibility. Brian, what is your initial reaction this week and the media coverage, how people have reacted, the PGA Tour coming out and suspending these players indefinitely? It has certainly been a week for the PGA Tour and for golf fans alike.
It's probably been the worst week for the PGA Tour, I think, in terms of worrying about the future of their league and their tour pre-Tiger. You know, I'm sure that they had some weeks where and some years where they had down weeks or they had money troubles or things like that. But, I mean, since mid-90s when Tiger Woods arrived, golf kind of went up on the bigger stage in the sports world, and now it's being threatened, really, I think, for the first time in our lifetimes, I think, as being the number one league. I do think at the moment the PGA Tour still is in the driver's seat. They still have the best players in the world. They still, quantity-wise, still have a much longer list of high-quality players. But as you say, you know, there's a slow chip away here, and we saw it with DeChambeau and Reed, we found out earlier this week, and Bryson made it official yesterday, finding out for $100 million for him to come over there. And now some of these other players, I'm really surprised, a guy like Harold Varner III, too, you know, a guy that seems like he's kind of starting to make his name on the PGA Tour, but these guys are looking for a big money grab in a hurry, and it's guaranteed. And I think that's probably alluring to these guys enough that they feel like, look, even if I sever ties with the PGA Tour and maybe never play again, I'm willing to take that risk because I'm going to get an enormous check in return no matter what happens going forward.
Yeah, and I guess this is the conversation that a lot of folks have been having, Brian. It's this, like, moral argument, and it's hard to think about, right, like what is the moral argument we're even talking about, Brian? And I think this is where sometimes it gets lost, right? There's this idea that the Saudi-backed league is using this golf league as PR, right? I think the term sports washing gets used a lot, right? To try to, in the public eye, help people forget about the human rights violations. And that's what the whole situation surrounding Phil was some of the comments he made in regards to the media asking them questions. But to hear, Brian, you know, these guys who have taken the $100 million checks, I mean, between DJ, Bryson, and Phil, it's, you know, getting close to $1 billion in just those three players, and that's before they win any purses. So listen, I mean, you don't have to convince me, Brian. Like, I'm not going to sit here on some kind of soapbox and tell you that if somebody offered me $500 million to go play golf in for a Saudi-backed league, no, I don't make that kind of money right now. It'd be hard for me to say no. That's life-changing money. But if you're DJ, if you're Bryson DeChambeau, you know, like, it's not like those guys weren't making life-changing money prior. It seems a little hypocritical for them to not want to answer questions about, you know, the money, because the money's coming from a place that a lot of people, whether or not there's hypocrisy in that, don't think is right to take the money from them.
I think Ian Poulter's non-comment said a lot by not even saying it. They asked him, they say, well, what if Vladimir Putin ran a golf league and you had an opportunity to play in it and get paid more than any other golfer? Would you take it? And he's like, oh, I'm not going to talk about hypotheticals. Well, essentially,
it's
this
not
is what
really
you're doing
hypothetical.
Right here.
It's not exactly hypothetical. Right.
You're going to take money from a government that has done very, 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 very bad things when it comes to how we treat human beings of all genders and races and sexuality and all these sort of things, and it's extremely dirty money. Now, with that said, I'm sure if, Nate, as you know, the social media world loves to spin and say, well, what about this? Well, what about this? Well, what about this? Like, yes, are there other sports venues and ventures and events that we all enjoy and watch and support that have money coming from areas that maybe we don't like, whether it's big business, big oil, people that run these things, that own these things, that maybe we have different social views on life than they do? Of course. So to sit here and say that this is the only, you know, I guess we'd say the only sports league in the world that isn't pure and wholesome, that's naive for you and I to obviously understand.
Agreed.
This is just right out here, and it's on the table. Yeah, this is the Saudi government. We're going to throw you the biggest check you've ever seen in your life. We want you to come over here and play so that golf can maybe be associated with our government to maybe make us look better, like a PR scheme. And, you know, DJ, DeChambeau, as you mentioned, these guys are already living the top 1% lives anybody else across society. So those are the ones that I am surprised about. The fringe tour players that are struggling each and every week to try to make their, you know, make the cut, make the PGA Tour, keep their card. I can understand why it might be alluring. Hey, my yearly earnings might only be $180,000. I know for almost everybody listening, you're like, oh, Jesus, what's wrong with that salary? Well, when you travel every week and you have motels and meals and flights and you have a caddy and an agent and a coach and a therapist, and, you know, like, there's weeks where guys lose money on the PGA Tour if they don't make the cut. So there's some things that could be attractive for the fringe players that haven't made it big, like DJ, like DeChambeau. But my thought is, after your Dustin Johnson is already worth over $100 million in terms of his earnings and his potential to earn money off the course with his brand, isn't it about how people view you as a golfer going forward at this point? Like, what is another $100 million going to do to your life? Probably not much different. You're still doing whatever you want, whenever you want. But people, if you want to be remembered for your golf, like, this changes by making this decision. So that's the part of it that I'm surprised about. It's the guys that are the top 20 players in the world, the DJs and the DeChambeaus. The fringe player, I can understand it, even though obviously we've made a strong argument for why going to this tour, it's maybe not the nicest thing to do.
I keep going back to this point, and it's easy, and there's not a lot of controversy in saying, like, okay, this fund that is paying for the players, that's paying for the league, that's putting together record purses, that is guaranteeing $120,000 to the last place finisher of these tournaments. All of this is fine and dandy to say, right? $1 billion for three players. Imagine what they're going to pay for the rest of these guys guaranteed to get them over here. But regardless of how you spend this, Brian, a fund is really rich people investing into something that you eventually hope to get returns on, Brian. Like, there is no fund ever created that wasn't designed to at least bring some level of gain, financial gain, and return on. I have a hard time believing, Brian, that if this league does not get a TV deal, if this league does not find a way to generate revenue in the next 3 years, I get it, right? Everyone thinks that they've got unlimited money and they'll just throw billions and billions of dollars at this thing out of spite. And I think that's a little utopia-ish thinking. I just think that at the end of the day, this thing has to eventually start to generate money for the people putting it in. Otherwise, I just don't know how it can sustain and last without a true TV deal, without some kind of level of sponsorships that bring revenue in. I think it's really a pie-in-the-sky thought that people are going to spend billions of dollars and never expect some of that money to come back in their pocket. I think, am I wrong in thinking that?
I think that's a fair argument. And at some point, the relevance of the tournaments are going to come into play, I think. If you're just a natural competitor and an athlete, like, yes, getting paid nice is obviously very nice. We all would love to get paid a ton of money. But at some point, if you've made it this far, that you're at the top of the world, don't you want to play against the best players in the biggest tournaments? Well, there is no U.S. Open on the LIV Tour. There is no Masters on the LIV Tour, and there is no PGA Championship on the LIV Tour. However, that to me is, I think, a huge piece. You're talking about how long could this go? How long could this last? Is it sustainable? To me, if the majors make a decision one way or the other, and I think what we should clarify for a lot of people here, the PGA Tour does not run any of the four majors. Augusta National runs the Masters. The PGA of America, these are the golf professionals that work in golf, at courses all across the country. These are the people that run the PGA Championship. The RNA runs the Open. The USGA, who makes the rules, they run the U.S. Open. The PGA Tour runs essentially all the other events, and they don't really have much to do with the majors other than it being on their tour schedule.
Sure.
Now, they're tight in terms of them working together, but to me, if these big players don't have access to the majors, I think that's a huge golf blow to the LIV Golf Tour that could eventually maybe make it go away sooner than later. If these players have access to still playing in all four majors, to me, that gives them a huge kind of bolt in terms of giving them credibility to say, look, you know, no offense to the Canadian Open this week, but if I'm a guy that still doesn't, I'm not allowed to play in the Canadian Open, but I can play next week in the U.S. Open. Well, the majors, and Tiger Woods has done this. He's made majors must-see events. He's raised by raising the level of the majors for some of these bigger golfers, that's what it's all about now. Look at Brooks Koepka. He's even been criticized for saying, oh, how come you don't win on the regular tour? You only win in the majors. And he's like, well, that's what I care about. Like, Tiger's made golf about the majors. The events in between are good, but they have definitely, they're not anywhere near the same level as what the majors are. So to me, yes, we could sit here and say, will they run out of money? Do they need a TV deal? Do they need spectators? At some point, though, to me, if Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, can get the governing bodies of the majors to shut these guys out there, I think then you won't see many more players jump ship. But the clock is ticking.
That's right.
As you said, more players today, they've got to go ahead and try to get this done ASAP. The U.S. Open's next week. The USGA has already said, look, we can't change the rules a week before the tournament. These guys that have qualified, we're not kicking them out. My guess would be the RNA that runs the Open in July will do the same thing, which means a lot of decisions come down to what does Augusta National and the board of directors do with the Masters next April. And I think if the PGA Tour, that maybe at the moment can't financially compete, what can they do? If they can get the governing bodies, the four groups that run these majors to shut out those golfers that play on the LIV Tour, then I think that's a huge chip in the PGA Tour's card that I think will keep them number one and on top for a long time.
Brian, last thing for you. Belmont Stakes going on today. You're on your way to Batavia for Batavia Downs. Tell the folks what you got going on today what they can expect 2 to 5 this evening.
Yep, I'm en route to Batavia Downs as we speak right now. 2 to 5, Ryan has an hour from Batavia Downs. Of course, our good buddy who always joins us during these Triple Crown shows. They're having a bourbon and whiskey party. Ooh. And, yes, I'm actually going to be doing my show from in the clubhouse where the party is. So we'll have some good details there. Of course, Ryan's suit, you got to check it out on Twitter. That'll be another thing that he always wears. That's great. But Ryan's going to join us. Paul Hamilton's going to join us. Pat Malacarlo's going to join us. We'll do some Bison, some baseball. We'll do some NHL playoffs. Dave Buchanan's going to join us. The Bandits can win tonight the NLL championship. He's in Denver, part of the broadcast team, so we'll have that. And then, of course, a lot on the Belmont in between. So that's all going up 2 to 5.
Awesome, Brian. Thanks so much for joining me, man. Enjoy your afternoon, and we'll look forward to 2 o'clock when you take over the airwaves for the coverage of the Belmont Stakes. Appreciate you, buddy.
Okay, Nate. Thanks. Have a good rest of your show.
Awesome. Thank you. Brian Kozer there on the Wester Hotline. I had a couple timeouts to get to. If you missed any of Brian's interview, or Jake Burns from OBR, the Orange and Brown Report, talking about Deshaun Watson and the upcoming season for the Browns, of course, you could go to WGR550.com on-demand audio. Taking a timeout on the other side, we'll get you previewed for Hour 3. We've got Matt Verderam coming up at 1 o'clock here on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, quick recap of Hour 2. Thanks to Jake Burns of the OBR, the Orange and Brown Report, for joining us to talk about Deshaun Watson and the Browns as they enter into mandatory minicamp this upcoming week, like the rest of the league. Thanks, of course, to Brian Koziel, who joined me on his way to Batavia Downs. He'll be back on the airwaves immediately after Sports Talk Saturday, 2 to 5, for a preview of the Belmont Stakes. That's happening, again, from 2 to 5 this afternoon, live from Batavia Downs. If you want to head down there, it sounds like they've got a bourbon and whiskey tasting situation happening, which sounds amazing. It's a beautiful day too, so make sure you head down to Batavia Downs, see your man Ryan Hasenauer in his amazing outfit and suit. So thanks to those two for joining us last hour. We've got Matt Verderam of FanSided. We're talking the AFC, we're talking Chiefs, and we're going to talk about the absolute absurdity that is Tyreek Hill. I don't even know a good word. Defaming?
Blasphemous take.
Just absolute blasphemy coming from Tyreek Hill. So we'll hear what he had to say in a podcast earlier this week. We'll talk about that with Matt. That's coming up next here, so don't go anywhere on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.